Hi, thanks for joining us here on Pro Talks. It's brief conversations with industry leaders focusing on moments to shape their careers, industries, and their lives. I'm Ben Judah. Today I'm joined by Jason Touré. Jason is VP People at the Girlfriend Collective and founder of Black Unicorn. Jason, thanks for joining us, or me.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, really good to be on and to be a part of it. Thank you.
No worries. So first things first, VP People at Girlfriend. What does a VP People do?
good question. I'd say there's probably a difference between what a, this is going to sound so wanky, but like what a VP of People does and what this VP of People does. I guess people's become the kind of like in vogue descriptor for human resources, like as a function. But it is different. I think the idea behind how people designate it is like human resources is very functional, very risk mitigation, very compliance focused. And people encompasses all of that as well. But it's more of a strategic value add to an organization, kind of looking at how you level up team performance, well-being, engagement, basically making the people function, basically making people within the organization operate to their optimum across those different areas. So it's a little bit more strategic, and the way that I do things is typically, and this plays out with Girlfriend Collective, who I'm working with now, kind of tying the experience and the identity of a brand. So I typically work with what people would describe as challenger, what some people I would describe as challenger brands, tying the way that they typically try to democratize and I guess like decolonize approaches to adding value to people, like kind of, you know, comparing Gillette to Harry's or Bevel or Venus to Billy or, you know, like, or Lululemon to Girlfriend Collective. And there's a different approach, like something a little bit less generic, more identity and belonging focused, more innovative, and you're able to kind of like tie the values and the purpose of the organization to how you innovate from a people perspective and you customize. So I'm very focused on trying to pull from, use my own perspective and outlook, but also pull from the identity and values of a brand like Girlfriend Collective to bring that towards what the culture side looks like and what our responsibilities and focuses are as an employer to then level up the organization. So then you can get really creative around policy and the kind of experience that you create and how you bring about culture and that sense of belonging, but on the kind of employee side of things rather than customer community. So it's tying the two together. And that's my approach. I think that's quite a relatively unique approach as far as I can see. But that overall is like a broad answer is what a VP of people or this VP of people does.
I guess to put a bit of a microscope on that, what does an average, I mean, I'm not going to ask an average day because I'm so you'll say every day is different because, hey, every day is different. But what's a normal week? You know, what sort of things do you try to achieve by the end of a week, or if you work in sprints, end of a sprint?
It's a good question. I think, so I've been working, you know, it's the end of October now, I've been working with Girlfriend Collective for the last 3 months, and I've basically been, yeah, what's a typical day? Riding the line between actually understanding the team. So, you know, always carving out, and it's, you know, interesting in these pandemic times and remote working and working from home and so on, Girlfriend Collective have been pretty ahead of the curve in a lot of areas. Like they've embraced remote working pre-pandemic. So they're headquartered in Seattle, but their team members are in New York, some are in Miami, some are in Portland, some are in California. London. So yeah, one is in London currently. So yeah, like they've kind of embraced that. Like I was like, yeah. And also London, the outlier on the other side of the pond. So they've embraced that, and it does create a challenge around actually being able to like keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on organizationally. Like I kind of take in and respond to a lot of cues. I take in a lot of information, even just like, you know, people's expressions and how that, you know, just those human things that I'm constantly analyzing and just subconsciously taking in, and you don't have that when you're working remotely and you're on, you know, Zoom calls and Google Meets and whatever. So just trying to like be, to an extent, almost like, it's not because anything's terrible, but be a therapist to people. Like, you know, in some ways things are terrible. People are stuck at home. People are, you know, worrying about economic situations, worrying about their family, worrying about health, worrying about the political situation, especially in the US. So just being, you know, carving out time to actually be a source of comfort and advice and discussion for people. But beyond that, kind of balancing fundamental work that allows you, like where you're crawling, it's kind of, you want to crawl, then walk, then run, then fly. And the crawling work is basically, you know, okay, what are we working with? What's our framework? Because in some ways, like, I like to think of myself as a bit of a cheat character, like kind of, all right, I can pop in like a cheat character from a video game, like just do things. It's like, okay, cool. This is, I can, you know, if we're hiring, I can figure things out. If we're trying to assess whether people are a culture ad, that's no problem. If we're trying to get a read of where people are at, I'm on it. Like, just as a individual force, like I'm able to do that. But you need a framework. You need to kind of move to the point where you're not jazzing 100% of the time and depending on me just kind of plugging in ad hoc, and you're building out processes where 99% of the time things are just functioning and people are thriving, and then 1% of the time you can jazz because that's kind of where the fun's at. And so far, like, oh, you know, a typical day, like just within the period of time I've been at Girlfriend, will lurch from designing and I guess devising employer brand decks to inform, okay, what are we going to do from a policy perspective, and, you know, people's professional development, personal development, the experience of working here. It should be fun to work here. We're attracting talent who have bought into the identity and values of the brand. That's why they're here. I've worked at so many companies where you start working there and there's a dissonance. It's like, oh, cool. So all of those amazing things that, you know, maybe follow you on Instagram and become a customer and really love what you're doing. So none of that translates to the experience of actually working here. Like, we basically slave away to provide that to customers. And then, you know, we get a crumb, you know, the odd crumb, and that's it. Like, it doesn't really make sense. And it causes people to get disengaged pretty quickly. So you want to build out, or I've been building out frameworks around, you know, designing and devising that employer brand deck, devising surveys around diversity and equity and inclusion, and getting a picture of the lay of the land as it is. Like, what's the makeup of the team? How included do they feel? How can I assess where we are from a, you know, race and identity background, from a privilege perspective, from all of these different areas, neurodiversity, all these things that are so important, but then also thinking intersectionally around, okay, cool, but where do people show up in different ways? Like, and using my understanding of the world to inform that. So it's like, I've worked at places that have been very quick to say, we have more women working here than we have men. Yeah, take that, white supremacist patriarchy. And you're like, sure, but we're in like a physical space game and we're selling, you know, offices to disproportionately men in a world where cishet men disproportionately want generically good looking women to serve them. And most of those women are working in roles in the buildings. Not many of them are in leadership positions. And again, looking intersectionally, how many of those women are women of color, black women, queer women, you know, looking at all these different areas. So people are very quick to, like, I guess, proclaim successes. And you're like, well, let's look at that critically. Like, are we really succeeding? Or are we just leaning into the philosophy that kind of defines a lot of our experiences? So it's work like that. You know, what does that survey look like? How do you crunch the numbers and the results? How do we build a playbook that defines what that 99% looks like around policy and experience and so on? But also, how do you jazz and just get tactical with people's needs day to day, like leadership around resourcing needs or struggles they're having with their team or struggles they're having themselves, again, professionally or personally? It's riding that line between just building trust in the first instance, building out frameworks that set you up going forward and that you can implement and execute, and just reacting to what's going on and like being a support. So it's pretty dynamic.
It does sound like there's a huge human element. Like, it very much depends on you being somewhat empathetic and the ability to read people. But are there any kind of tech tools, are there any softwares, things like that kind of augment that, or is it really quite human
I work like, so my answer to that is like, I'm very human centric, and I depend on that empathy and, you know, the emotional intelligence and cultural intelligence and, you know, IQ as well, and all these different things. But as someone who works for brands who embrace tech, like all of us do, like I guess every company is a tech company now. If you have a website, you're a tech company. So that's every company. Yeah, like it's kind of, I worry that I risk becoming a dinosaur where you're like, no, this is just, you know, empathy and cultural intelligence and understanding and learning and curiosity and all these different things. You're like, dude, eventually, like, there just needs to be an app for that, right? That just needs to happen. Yeah. And it's hard, like, I guess when it comes to talent and talent acquisition and things like that, it's a lot easier because there's more quantifiably, you know, tangible success. It's a little bit more subjective, kind of like, how included and happy and engaged do you feel? And how well are you performing? Good on all accounts. You're like, okay, awesome. It's a little bit more difficult to assess. So I'm broadly quite not tool agnostic, but I just haven't found any tools that especially move the needle, in my opinion. Like, there are the basics around things that just, you know, are useful. There's different HR systems that I've used that some are not great. I won't name any. And there are some that are like, okay, cool, that's pretty handy. Just from a process point of view, I've typically been a greenhouse applicant tracking system person, just because it's been the kind of in vogue tech and startup option. And it's good. I guess at a certain point of scale, you might need to try something different, but it's good up to a pretty decent point of scale. But yeah, it's pretty heavy on, you know, there's a lot of like intellectual and emotional labor and energy expended. And it's always interesting when you're VP of people, SVP of people, chief people officer, whatever it is, like typically it must be a bit like being a therapist, that like you are providing a lot of therapy to everybody else, but who's your therapist? Organization, I guess a therapist will likely have their own therapist, but there's not a people person that I also kind of report into. So yeah, like I've not really found too many tools that have really kind of changed the game, but I also, it might make me sound like a dinosaur, and I could be, eventually I'll sound like a dinosaur, I'm sure, like in the infinity of time, but I just don't see how AI or machine learning or any of that can really replace that. And if it does, I'd be really worried based on where the world is now, like, you know, based on who can access an automated, you know, soap dispenser or tap based on the pigmentation of their skin or whatever it might be. You're like, tech's not nailing it at the moment in terms of like serving the array of humans in this world. So if we're depending on people functions to, you know, in a way, again, I keep saying it, but given the governing philosophy of how we live, it's like, oh, there's going to be a very privileged white cis het dude focused people app that I don't think is going to look after everybody as well as it might do that cohort.
If you're thinking about, you know, VP people or head of people, you kind of want a person running that.
Yeah. Like, here is Alexa running the people function. Here is this gendered app that's always gendered as a woman who will serve you in your people function. You're like, no, like, I think just get a people or person to do that. Get people or a person to run the people function, perhaps.
So tell me a bit about Black Unicorn. What is it? How did it come to be? Has it changed throughout the time that it's been? Tell us a little bit about that.
What is Black Unicorn? What a good looking question. I guess like high level, Black Unicorn is a culture company. I guess we exist to challenge the way people view culture in the workplace and beyond that, because the two are obviously connected, and just push that thought forward and push thoughtfulness forward in that regard. And there are a lot of guiding principles around people kind of leaning into who they really are. And I think that ties to the kind of brands that I've worked with and brands like Girlfriend Collective, who wants to work for those kind of companies, build those companies, found them. And just a culture of that, in some way, divesting from that mainstream expectation of what you're supposed to do, whether that's like doing your if you know, if you're privileged enough and talented enough and everything else to you know, do that stint at PwC or Bain or McKinsey or whatever it is, and then you kind of like shake your head, oh my god, like, this is awful, I dislike all of this, I'm gonna go be head of growth, I'm gonna go start Harry's or whatever, I'm gonna go start this company or work at this company or start Monzo now, there's something that kind of, we're all meant to go and do that, right? Like, just go and be as well educated as you can and get your corporate job and, you know, find a nice girl, if if that's what you're into, and so on and so forth. And I think there's just a culture there of like, no, you kind of have to think critically about the world around you, or you probably were forced to think more critically about the world around you, because everybody wants to fit in. And some of us, despite really wanting to fit in, really can't. And normally that's maybe your identity or background or experience just meant, yeah, this just feels itchy. Like, I can't just take my place in the legion of what we're supposed to do, inverted commas, supposed to do, like most people can. Or something's happened to me and it's like, whoa, yeah, that's just, this isn't it. Like, I need to really just try and embrace being who I actually am, not who I've been told I need to be. So it's that spirit that's tied into my experience personally, and I think a lot of people that we work with. More functionally, Black Unicorn has been, I guess, a consulting firm, effectively. Like, you know, there's a little bit of content here and there, but primarily I've been working with these challenger brands who are all, and often people are like, what's a challenger brand? And I'm, what's a challenger brand? And I'm, you know, in a world of IWG or Regis, there was WeWork, there is, you know, Ethel's Club or The Riveter or Huckletree, you know, in a world of I'm Your Venus, just shambastic, you know, brand and, you know, company, there's Billy and other organizations. So just, I guess, like, those have been the kind of brands that I've been focused on, and providing work around, providing support around, you know, organizational design, defining workplace culture, a lot of work recently around diversity, equity, and inclusion, kind of finding bespoke solutions around remote working, working from home, and what does that look like in each org? What's the makeup of your team? How do we set people up to win? How do we, I guess, like, prep for a world on the other side of where we are today? And hiring, and hiring in a way that is consistent with the identity and values of that, of that particular company, because every company will have a different big picture. Like, I'd like to think they have the same aspirations and same idealism, but that plays out in, you know, different, in a bespoke way for each company. And yeah, so that's like primarily what Black Unicorn has been. And we've done a lot of work with so many, you know, companies in New York, on, you know, on the East Coast, on the West Coast, in the UK. And we're in an interesting place. We're in an interesting place right now where I guess there's an abundance of opportunity. There's a lot of opportunities to plug into companies and be that dedicated people person. I think I'm in a place where it's exciting to me to run with the toolkit that I give companies rather than hand over the toolkit. And, you know, whether people mean to or not, people is often the thing, the people work and culture work. When shit gets crazy, when a founder's up at night trying to like make sure the ends are met and the people get paid and the suppliers get paid and how do we grow and my investors are in my ear and so on and so forth. The thing, funnily enough, that in the capitalist system, the thing that will obviously fall off the radar is the people side. Like, you know, capitalism 101 is you have labor, you extract from your labor to deliver your commercial, you know, imperatives. So fundamentally, you kind of, you know, return to that kind of that place on some level. So it's really exciting to be in an organization and challenge people and have ownership for that. It's like, cool, I'm just going to run with this and just keep, make sure that this is, you know, absolutely looked after and focused on despite what's going on. And, you know, like I say, like, overall, BU's been about trying to shift culture, trying to, you know, I guess, support people who, because everyone has that potential to kind of, I call it the journey from black sheep to black unicorn. Like, everybody has that potential to divest from, actually, none of this makes sense. Like, we are all, like, literally none of it makes sense. Like, it doesn't make sense to the way that we treat people based on their identity and their background and who has opportunities and how things work and how we're, oh my God, like, a reaction to one thing would be, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And another party does the same thing. You're like, oh, man, that's fine. Like, no, nothing to see here. And it's like, critically think about it. Think about how you come into this realm, like this life that we're in, pretty divine, pretty pure. And through indoctrination and through societal norms and expectations, like you kind of take your place in thinking a particular way. And then you get to a place, many of us, where you start to question and kind of think differently in that way. So yeah, it's about kind of pushing that. And it ties to a lot of these companies, because you don't start, again, capitalism 101 says your company should be Gillette, not Harry's. Like it says you should be Lululemon at best, not Girlfriend Collective. Like, well, why would you be that inclusive in your brand? Why would you use plastics and, you know, recyclable materials and have this, you know, that's a more expensive way to, you know, design your supply chain or your production, that if you can't produce, if you're not going down the fast fashion route and just focusing on like, cool, like abundance, let's go, like we need to maximize productivity there because then you maximize revenue, then that's not what you do. Like that's what, you know, that's how you're, that's the focus. And if you're like, no, but that's awful for the planet, awful for people, awful for quality, how about we just do it differently? People's, you know, old school capitalists, that would blow their minds. So there is something to using your own outlook and experience to design how you actually show up for people that think like you and people that need what you offer, but no one else has been serving them. And I'm just, yeah, I think there's a lot of possibility around content and community. You know, we have a community of like so much talent who have worked for the challenger brands of the last sort of generation or two, in the kind of roles that every company needs, you know, from marketing to growth to brand to people, and the founders and, you know, strategists and obviously the tech and product guys and non-gendered guys. Like I need to stop that. I say guys when I mean plural, but I in a non-gendered way, people. And yeah, like I think there's professionally a lot of support and tools and network and connectivity that can be offered to that group, because that doesn't really exist, right? Like I don't think anyone's carving out a niche around these challenger brands and who they are and is plugged into them in the way that I have been. So there's a lot of possibility going forward with what BU is going to be. Just let's see. I think I anticipated a world where I think more people would have to make that journey from black sheep to black unicorn, because the things that, I guess a lot of the systems and structures that make you feel safe and make you feel like you fit in were always eventually going to fail us, from, not to be too macabre, but from, you know, the ecological situation on our planet to, you know, to the political situation, you know, and the rise of the far right, to, you know, like fewer working rights for a lot of people and, you know, 0-hour contracts and all these types of things. And I was just like, eventually there's going to be another recession, because again, we're about a decade out since our last major, well, now we're in a recession, but before, you know, the one we're in now. So we're a decade from our last one. This is cyclical. This is the capitalist, you know, this got to feed the beast. And then the beast eventually, you know, goes, gets sick. And then we all suffer and, you know, the big boys all get bailed out and everyone, all the normal people struggle. And then we go again forever in perpetuity, not conceiving of something that might work better. And or tinkering with this system so it works in a way that doesn't have that, can't even call it a glitch, it's a feature now. It's not a glitch, it's what it does. And then people, you know, like young people having to pay so much more for education now and house prices. It's just like, eventually, you know, keep your head down and do what you're supposed to do will not cut it. And you'll, that promise of like, well, if I just keep my head down and if I don't, you know, make too much noise and I just do what I'm supposed to do in inverted commas, everything will be okay. And then something was always going to happen to like make a lie of that promise. I didn't anticipate a global pandemic. That was not, I'm not, you know, a clairvoyant. I did not have that in my outlook, but here we are. So I think it's time to, you know, it feels like the right time to lean into those things and provide support and connectivity and just encourage a better way of thinking that might move us forward. So all that's kind of tied up in BU. And it came about in the first place, you know, I used to work for WeWork. I was head of people, VP of people for international markets for a couple of years. And I was headhunted by Casper, the mattress in a box startup or challenger brand, to join them as VP of talent for Europe. But at the same time, approached by a bunch of other brands about similar roles, Harry's, HelloFresh, Glossier. This is like in early 2017. So that's what planted the seed of, okay, there's a cohort of challenger brands who are trying to, you know, really, like I say, democratize and decolonize and add value to their community. And I don't think I'm the co-working guy as I might have thought, because I did a lot of work even before I was at WeWork. I worked at a recruiting firm where my niche was co-working in real estate, and I led a division recruiting into that market. So it was kind of that journey from, huh, I'm not the co-working in real estate dude, as it turns out. I'm actually the, if you're building a brand, if you're building a challenger brand, you have an external story that's really compelling. Awesome. My job is to make your internal story match your external story, to make what's under the hood actually be consistent with what you're saying outside. And we see now, like more than ever, the need for that. Like how many brands have proven to be catfishes in the last couple of years, or how many brands have been outed. And again, some of it's like harsh, and I think there's a lot to figure out, and why is this happening? And, you know, not that it's harsh, obviously it's not, don't mistreat your people, but it's, if it happens that regularly, there's something fundamentally wrong. So instead of like, oh, this company is awful because they treat these people badly, like I get that. But my mentality as well is also, well, you know, how do we, what's wrong? How do we fix it? How do we figure out what the issues are? And, you know, we're in that space now, especially since COVID. People are very interested in where their pounds or dollars are going. You know, who is, yeah, where's that going, and what are you supporting with your hard-earned money? So people are really plugging into, okay, cool, is there consistency between all of this, you know, slicker than your average branding that we're putting into the world? Is that consistent with the way you treat your team? And like, you know, that's so important. So yeah, like those companies kind of approached me all at the same time. And that's what planted the seed of, okay, maybe it's time to lean into that entrepreneurship and do your own thing. I've always had that desire to do my own thing, but I've never wanted to just start my own HR consultancy, just be another HR consultant. It's like, there needs to be something that I'm doing for a cohort of people or organizations or both that only I can do the way I do it. And that adds value. And once that Venn diagram that becomes, it's like a circle, just two circles on top of each other exists, lean into it, let's go. So yeah, that's the bit of a ramble there, but like the BU story and what it is and what the future might look like.
I mean, it's really exciting. It's as you say, it's a time now where I think a lot of people are thinking much more about these sorts of things, and are being much more conscious about where they're spending the money, where they're spending their time and their attention, all of that sort of thing. One thing that you mentioned that I really want to kind of pick you up on, because I've never heard it phrased like this, is people feeling itchy about the culture. It's not a thorn. It's not something that's, you know, absolutely, you know, you can't live with it. It's destroying you, all of that. It's just itchy. It's not a good fit. It's something is wrong with the culture, and it kind of covers you. It's all over, and it's a scratch an itch that can't be scratched. So I guess that sort of thing to me sounds like it's really hard to identify, and it could be that it's not wrong for the company. It's wrong for that individual. You know, the companies, you know, as you say, you've got successful companies across different verticals, shared work spacing, leisure way, whatever it is. You've got your challenger brands that do it one way, but you've got fairly established other larger brands that are doing pretty well for themselves as well. So some people, some individuals, I would postulate, I propose, fit very well within that regular organic structure that's been, you know, around since the year dot. And other people, and it's other individuals that crave that slightly different, slightly more, almost more human, more individualized mindset of culture, of how it works, how it's built. And in my mindset, that's happening more and more. More people are thinking, you know, I spend I spend way too long at work or at home working.
Well, you live at work now, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say you're not working from home, you're at home working during a global pandemic.
Yes. let's call it what it is.
People are spending so much more time working now, and you know, it follows you home. We've all got our phones that beep and bing at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you kind of think, oh, you know, I'm just gonna respond to that person. They're in the States, you know, all of that. Oh, they're in the Far East. I should just, you know, respond to them at 7 in the morning. It bleeds into the rest of the time. So, you know, you want something more from, expect something more from them, almost because work expects something more from you. So
sure.
There's that push and pull, which I find really interesting. Actually, one thing that I saw this week, in a friend's footer, which was really amazing. After 6 p.m., we were emailing back and forth, and after 6 p.m., his footer changed to say, my company supports flexible work. It suits me to email you at this time. I don't expect a response until your regular working hours. And I was just like, damn. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It tells you volumes about that company, doesn't it?
For sure. Yeah. It, you know, you're being thoughtful and customizing what that experience is and what the expectations are. I love that. Like, it's really interesting to see things like that. I'm always like, how about that? Like, you do get that insight into how that company is thinking and how, you know, they're sort of allowing people to feel empowered to customize their experience on their own terms. And yeah, it's really interesting. I think, and I agree with what you're saying overall as well. I think, you know, there are different ways of working that work for different people. I'm definitely not, you know, here to, you know, kind of admonish big corporations, and like that works for a lot of people. And also the experience of work, you know, I used to this point, I used to say I, you know, wasn't born to do work that means nothing to me. But and I'll kind of like close that, you know, thought out. Like now I've kind of moved to, but I wasn't only born to do work that's meaningful to me. And I'm a workaholic, and I'm someone who definitely, through the nature of my work and more broadly, connects to work in a way that, you know, leans into my drivers. Like a lot of my drivers are around fairness and justice and being kind and, you know, setting people up, being kind, being fair, and setting people up to be able to thrive within that context and in that environment that you can cultivate. And that's just, those are my drivers. That's just driven by like my experience growing up, like, you know, as a kid and, you know, in school and workplaces I've, you know, been in myself and so on and so forth. Like that's so tied up in me leaning into my identity and my drivers. So for me, and sometimes that's unhealthy because I am a workaholic and I can, my instinct is like throw myself 100% into this thing I really care about. And I don't want to lose that because I do think that provides, you know, a level of, I guess, impact that might not be achievable otherwise. I'm very mindful around taking time off and I'm trying to be better with boundaries and, you know, meditating and actually like unplugging from working, just doing other things, you know, finding joy in other places, whether that's, you know, video games or in the old world, movie theaters. Like maybe I'll go back. Who knows? I really want to watch Tenet and I'm just like, I'm just waiting for it to be on, but like for no one to go. I'm basically waiting to have the IMAX to myself and just being able to go and watch it. I might even check if it's on later today, but we will eventually do it. He says at the end of October, like Tenet came out like 2 months ago or something. But you got to see it that way, right? But like leaning into those things that, you know, give you joy, going on those, you know, vacations if you're able to. And for me, like just being in the sun and vitamin D and taking it in and just feeling, being near nature, being near water and things like that really does it for me. And those are my drivers, but it's also completely okay if you're like, hey, my expectations for work are that I come in at 9, I leave at 5, I get my money. And my drivers are basically sort of focused and gratified elsewhere. Like it's entirely okay for it to, even in a big corporation, I know a lot of corporations would extract a lot of hours and time from people. You know, I dabbled in life as a corporate lawyer in what feels like a lifetime ago, just to throw that into the mix alongside, you know, recruiting and people work and Black Unicorn. I've had a weird career trajectory. But I've dabbled in that world and you're like, yeah, you know, you're doing 70, 80 hour weeks and you're a cog in the machine or in the wheel. And that's just not how I'm wired. Like, I'm, you know, high impact in rather than just kind of churning out the productivity and, you know, sort of, you know, and, you know, for a lot of people, especially if you're my age and maybe my background and things like that, like, yeah, you work at a big corporate law firm or a consulting firm or, you know, oil and gas company, whatever it is, there's a bit of prestige to that. Like, from a background where being a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or an accountant are pretty much your only options if you want to, you want your parents to keep loving you. Like, that's what you need to do. So a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm the big dog at JP Morgan. You're like, okay, cool. And some people need that. That's some people's drivers as well. Like, I guess in some ways that those were what I thought my drivers were at a certain point. And, you know, my black sheep thought those were my drivers, my black unicorns. Like, no, that's not what it's about. I need to keep being brave enough to do what works for me. And everybody, I guess, should do that on their own terms. And for some people that is, yeah, like, actually, I want what Jason didn't. And that's okay. Like, with different people, that's literally chill. And yeah, like, some people need something that's just like, I plug in, I plug out. Like, entrepreneurship is hard as well, right? Like, you know, there are benefits all around. Being an entrepreneur or founding your own company or co-founding or whatever, you're going to be stressed a lot of the time. You know, a lot of people have this, maybe in the UK especially, we have this, oh, you started your own company or you're self-employed. Cool. So you're basically unemployed. Like, you're basically just not doing anything. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, that's insane. It's tough. And sometimes just plugging into a company and knowing what your scope of work is and being paid consistently and so on and so forth is where people are at and what people need. And that's great. Like, you know, how many people, like, this pandemic has like been huge and been so impactful, you know, economically for people and obviously health wise and all kinds of things. You're like, some of these, you know, simpler things are just what people need, maybe even more now than they did before. So I kind of agree. I just think, like, you know, it's interesting to carve out these new ways of doing things, these new brands, these new workplaces, these new approaches. And I guess my overall view is that we are in the workplace and in culture at large operating on some fairly ancient and pretty obsolete operating systems. You know, we're, you know, our whole framework for life and work is pretty much, you know, like, colonized, basically, industrial revolution at its peak, at its best. It's like industrial revolution age approach to how you treat people, how you treat customers, how you treat, you know, your employees or labor. And it's 2020. Like, you know, like, so much of our outlook is based on, you know, sort of morality and, you know, kind of antiquated ideas around religion. You know, you have to admit, like, especially in Europe, we live, and in the States to an extent as well, and other parts of the world, we live in parts of the world that where religion has been dominant for how people are treated, how, what people's experiences are, who's included in society, who's, you know, or we know these things. And a lot of things.
Also, we're going through a black swan event right now. So
yeah,
any time is to change direction, to pivot, to make it, to take stock of what's working and what's not.
For sure. This
now,
is it. Like,
good a time as any.
This is the reset. This is the time to think about, like, really deep it. Like, think about, like, how you approach, like, why do you think certain things about particular issues? And, like, you know, why is morality tied to so many different things, you know, and how people are controlled effectively, how women's bodies are controlled, how, what, you know, women are, you know, how society attempts to control women overall. Like, there's so much just tied up in this part of the world in particular, just kind of, you know, antiquated, colonial, kind of Christian fundamentalism. It's just like, well, you are a bad person. Like, if you're poor, it's because you're bad. It's because you're a bad person, you did a bad thing, and you deserve to be poor. It's, God has decided you should be poor, and that's it. It's kind of like, no, we, like, that outlook, that's the source of why it's okay to just walk past homeless people and be okay. Like, it's not a society that's well, right? We're just like, yeah, it's okay. It's not what children do. Children have an ice cream and walk past a homeless person. They offer the ice cream. They are literally eating to the homeless person because they are more divine creatures who are just like, oh yeah, like, that's a person who looks sad. Ice cream's great. Would you like some ice cream, sir? Madam, would you like some ice cream? Non-binary, would you like some ice cream? And, you know, and we're like, no, they're bad people. It's like, we're all two or three bad things away from being in exactly the same spot. The pandemic doesn't show you that. I don't know what will.
Yeah, and they say it's 72 hours away from absolute collapse of
society. Yeah, absolutely.
Tomorrow, electricity cut out throughout the UK. And then
what do we do?
Yeah, 72 hours later of no food, no heating, no that.
And then the purge.
Yeah.
Like the inevitable end game. Like, oh, cool. Like in 3 days, society like completely devolved into the purge.
Thankfully, I think more companies with a bit of a social angle, more of an understanding of putting some good back into the society rather than trying to take everything out. I think that's becoming more prevalent in smaller companies, but also the big corporates, the big behemoths of companies are beginning to think much more about that sort of how do we do some good? How do we not just take, how do we start putting stuff back?
For sure. And like I 100%. And I think to that point, that was the key to kicking off Black Unicorn. Like I didn't know that abundance of like, you know, that cohort had grown and existed in going to that point and existed in that way. So that's what kind of was the trigger of, okay, well, if this is what you exist to do and what is your driver as an organization and you know, the driver of the people that run it, then if you guys can't be invested in getting it together when it comes to like leveling up how you treat your people and treat the humans who work for your, who are part of your team, work for your company, then who can? Like, if I can't, and that's not, again, like there are reasons, would be a whole nother discussion, some of which I've written about and not enough of which I've written about, around why, you know, people fall on the wrong side of these exposés and like, oh, this company is exposed for mistreating their team and, you know, not being consistent with what they, you know, preach that they're about, which is part of the issue. Like if you're gonna, you know, tall poppy syndrome, right? If you're saying we are the place where, you know, we're the company that is really focused on, you know, smashing the patriarchy and looking after and empowering women and so on and so forth, and you mistreat the women that work for your company, schadenfreude and, you know, that kind of tall poppy syndrome, people have a lot of energy for you, like, because you raised your head, you know, you kind of said, we're going to do this. A utility-based company, like, you know, Uber has done some things that aren't great, but like historically, but they exist to get me to the airport. Like I don't have an emotion. It's a utility. I have no emotional connection to it. Please get me to the airport, sir. Thank you. Like, there we go. Whereas, you know, a brand that kind of gives you that sense of belonging and says that, you know, it exists to be slicker than your average. It's like, cool. Certain people are going to be really quick to let you know about yourself if you're not really living that in all ways. You have to be brave enough and, you know, do what you can to keep evolving to do that. And also embrace that, like, you don't have all the answers. Like, you are trying to figure out this new path and you're trying to be, you're debunking capitalism as it's existed for forever. So there are going to be some mistakes made, and maybe that's something that we need to get to. Like, there's some mistakes that are unforgivable, right? Like, you know, some things are just atrocities and you're like, you can't do that. But broadly kind of moving to that sense of not having, and you see this in other areas too, you see it politically and, you know, with influencers, people, we have to make someone our hero, but we also, it's just the storytelling component of the human experience. Like, we need to make someone our hero and yes, they are doing something, which means it's okay that I'm doing absolutely nothing. And then when they eventually fall on the wrong side of things, it, you know, lurches to the, oh my God, you're a fraud, you're terrible. Like, I knew I never should have believed in you. It's kind of like, okay. But what are we all doing? It should be a collective thing. Like, everyone needs to show up in their own lane and play their part in moving things forward, support people in doing the same thing in their lanes. You know, it's not a one person race. This is a communal thing. Like, it's the only way we move things forward is together. And moving away from that, like, how can I make you this superhero? And then how can I tear you down as the villain? It's like, well, actually, like, we're all just, you do good things. Good, like, it sounds so childlike, but it's like, good isn't a thing that you are. You just get better at doing good things. You keep unlearning and learning more, and you get better at creating habits where you are doing good. Like, you know, this person's a good person or a bad person. You're like, I mean, there are levels which, oh no, this, you are rotten. There's something wrong with that guy. But broadly, we just have to, you know, open our minds and keep learning to be more divine and do good things. And, you know, if you embody and have some privilege, like, what are the little ways, whether reactively or proactively, where you're trying to, you understand that not everyone around you has the same experience, the same opportunity, and how are you trying to, like, just raise other people up? So yeah,
So I guess on that note, because I'm really conscious of the time, where can people find, you said you've done some writing on this, but not nearly enough. Where can people find that writing? Where can people find what you're writing next?
So yeah, like I, much more to come for sure. Like that's definitely on, I have a lot of things that I want to get into. So I guess from a writing point of view, our website is blackunicorn.com. So, there's some stuff up on the blog section of the website. I'm on LinkedIn as well. Jason Touré, surname spelled T-O-U-R-A-Y, Jason, just very traditional spelling of Jason. And so yeah, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. And obviously Black Unicorn is on LinkedIn as well. I'm on Instagram at Jason Touré. Well, not at, because it's not Twitter, but my username is Jason Touré. Our company is Black Unicorn on Instagram. On Twitter, I'm at Jason Touré BU, because some charlatan has taken Jason Touré and has been inactive for a very long time. I will get it. I will. Charlatan strong. They just probably just don't use Twitter. But I will get it.
Journalist called Ben Judah, and I get all of his. Ben Judah, this amazing article. I'm like, not me, I mean that guy, but I have
wrong Ben.
Death threats from him, and I mean every not from him, for him.
What's this person into? Jesus.
I feel the pain of receiving other people's mail.
For sure. I'm not in a place where this, actually not a charlatan, because that's very strong. They don't deserve that. But this other at Jason Touré, I'm sure they're not getting too much for me, but hopefully one day I'll be able to have that username. But yeah, at Jason Touré BU on Twitter, just Jason Touré on Instagram.
Nice one, Jason. Really good to talk to you. And hopefully we'll do this again. There's so much more stuff I want to sort of dig into with you, because it's great fun.
I'd love to. And this is really good fun. I always love our conversations. Like most of them are off mic, but we always have great convos, and this has been really fun. I've really enjoyed being a part of it. Thanks for including me, and excited to talk again for sure.
Awesome. Looking forward to next time.